Well, it is another week, and we're right in between Sundays, and I'm joined, as always, by good friend, sometimes good friend and pastor, Jason Hayes.
I don't know how to receive that invitation, or that introduction, I should say.
Yeah, receive it as you see, led, how you feel led to receive that, Jason. We're coming off an amazing football Saturday last week.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
If we can, I think we should just talk about that.
Correct.
For
we
an
actually
hour.
Just to break down the game for an hour.
That won't take long.
We are not going to do that today.
But what we are going to do today is talk about, sports and how Christians are to navigate sports from at every level, between the Sundays. And so what are we, what's our motivation? Even Saturday, I was sitting there watching the game and I obviously was making a lot of negative comments, that were very helpful and fruitful in our home.
I'm sure. And they were edifying and everyone was growing closer because of it.
And my wife looked over at me and she was like, why do you care about this so much?
Yeah.
And I, of course, responded in an aggressive manner and said, this is the only sport I watch. This is it. Like, before we got married, I watched SportsCenter 8 times a day. I watched every athletic competition that was on TV. And now we're married and have 4 kids. And I watch UT football.
Allow me.
Give me this.
Allow me to invest emotionally into this. I need this outlet.
But there were moments, you know, toward the end of the night, and over the last few years, where I was like, no, why do I care so much about a game? It is a game, but it is one that competition kind of brings something out of us. And we're seeing this across a number of different spectrums in politics and everything. Everybody feels like, we're an expert, we could be the coach. And, so let's start there, Jason, from a sports standpoint, just across the board. How are Christians to navigate that? Because if we're honest, and if I look back at my past when I used to play a lot of pickup basketball and stuff, the worst part of me would come out in those moments.
Yeah. I think first we have to establish that I could be the coach at the University of Tennessee. I am qualified.
You wouldn't even have to pay me what you're paying him.
I have a unique skill set that is absolutely not true. Nor have I ever believed that I could be the coach. And I am uninformed enough to say, hey, I'm pro, really any of our coaches at this point.
Well,
and so,
yeah,
sure. Let's just go with that. But no, I do think, as you said, at times sports has a tendency to expose some of our shortcomings and really ultimately just exposes our heart, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, even within my own people group, you know, some of the people that I'm friends with or people that I follow on social media or have some connection to, it at least feels as if maybe we are creating two groups. It felt like we had all people that were extreme, or we had the uninformed, like I just care in no way about this, or we had the people that were just flat out passionate about it and excessive about it and also unhealthy in their thoughts and viewpoints and more the way they expressed all of that stuff. Now I'm at least beginning to see a group of people that pop up that say, I really do care about this and I enjoy it. But even at least some people who would show a little bit of remorse. That was interesting. Actually, on Sunday or even Saturday night, saw a number of people comment, why do I allow this to bother me so much? Or people who said, I'm regretting that I allowed my emotions to get caught up into this. Or even, you know, I regret, why would I believe that they said we were going to be this or anything of that sort? And of course, certainly we sit here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and a lot of our culture is connected to Tennessee and Tennessee football and all that stuff. We are a basketball school now, it appears.
Come on.
Ultimately, we've got viewers that are fans of other programs, and that's not just high school and college and pro. I mean, it can go all the way down to youth sports. And so, again, I think the point is it exposes so much of our heart, and unfortunately, our heart is wicked in many ways.
Yeah, and there is healthy competition. The problem is there's a lot of us that take that to an unhealthy place. I remember I played played ball all through high school, and then, you know, when high school's over and you don't have that anymore, for most of us who, you know, you don't go in and play college ball, you play, you know, pickup or you play in a rec league. And I just remember watching and going, oh wow, these guys think this is college or the NBA.
They somehow are confused. This is not a semi-pro league. Yeah.
And I just remember finding myself going, why am I, like, I'm grown now. Why am I getting caught up in all of this? But there's something to it. It drags us in. And for some, it can even become addicting.
Right.
And it becomes an addiction. And then we, you know, I listen to a lot of sports podcasts, and a lot of the people that call, you have one segment that it doesn't matter who is hired.
Correct.
Their life goal is to absolutely trash that coach.
Correct.
And the program that they say they love, they are never positive about it in any shape, form, or fashion. We're never going to get back
their love is expressed in varying degrees of opposition.
Yeah, and it's very odd, even to the point of you go over to the basketball part of UT. Over the last year, we saw Rick Barnes really do some amazing things with player development and just human development and all these things. And you still have people going, yeah, we might have shared the SEC title, but he hasn't signed a 5-star. Well, then he signs a 5-star a couple weeks ago, and it's like, yeah, but that's just one.
We don't know what this guy's going to do. You're like, yeah. Well, wait, what? How much more do you want from him?
Yeah, and right. So there's a sense of entitlement, and of course, if you're listening to this and you don't live in Knoxville or a college town, it didn't make sense to me until I moved here, and then I moved here in 2008, and I thought, oh,
anything that feels rational, throw that out the door.
Yeah, I immediately thought, no, this is a different ballgame. It's different living in a college town and not just
As a pastor of a church in a college town, that values sports as much as it does, it is legitimately an issue. I mean, we can know, good, bad, or ugly, that a 7 o'clock game on a Saturday night will absolutely impact 100%. A number of things on Sunday morning for us.
And even not like my wife could really care less about any of the sports. But even she will say, well, it was a bad night, so tomorrow morning's not gonna be very good, you know, not as many people or whatever. Or you do have some folks that go into like mourning,
right?
Because of the outcome, and I think it does. I think all of us have this tribal mentality, and
sure.
So it's easy when you live in a college town to run with that and feel like you're part of a group and a large group, and there's 100,000 fans in the stadium or less depending on the year, but you're doing that, but it does say a lot about our heart when we walk into those moments, and the real us at times comes out.
And again, we, as you said earlier, we're pro sports.
I mean, we are super athletic.
Yeah, I mean, we are. Yeah. Do look at us. That's exactly right. Just imagine this high pitched squeaky voice and the physique that has to come along.
I was always the first pick. I mean, a redhead with glasses. Who else would you pick first?
Now, believe it or not, we actually did play sports. I played sports quite competitively and all the way through high school and had scholarship offers and all that other stuff. And then I've got three boys that love sports and are athletes and things of that sort. And so, there's great value in athletics. Absolutely. There's great value in athletics and competition. And mm-hmm. I'm not the guy that says, you know, hey, everyone's all a winner. No, they are not.
Yeah.
There are winners and there are losers mm-hmm. and there's consequences of not working hard and not practicing and all of those things. And so it exposes some really great side of the human character. But also, as you said, it can really expose a lot of bad stuff. We've been talking with Shoreline, as you know, about cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
And this last Sunday, we talked quite a bit about cynicism and pessimism and you know, just this kind of innate opposition that exists within us. And we even talked about how our brains, as I believe, is the result of the fall. It is physically and scientifically proven, even medically, that our brains have a bent towards negativity, mm-hmm. meaning that they're fired more. The electrical surge is increased in its response to negativity. And so again, we feed off of hardship with our teams, and we want to be able to say we can gripe about something even when they do sign that five star. And again, what does that mean? It just is a reminder to us that our minds have to be renewed. That is not there's not the state that we often think of, that we just exist in kind of a neutral place. you know, like, well, if I'm taking steps towards the things of God, my mind's being renewed. Right. And then if I'm absolutely standing against God, my mind is being corroded. No, we start in a negative spot as a result of the fall. And so thus, we have to pursue Christ each and every day for our mind to be renewed, our hearts to be healed. And that even shows itself in the way that we interact with things like sports.
Well, and also it points to we're all searching for community.
Yep.
Why do people continue to show up on Saturdays to these ball games? It's a sense of community, even in the bad days.
Right.
But for so many, that's where they find their connection. That's where they find their identity. And
right.
They find commonalities with other people. Right. Of, oh, you're a Vol fan. That's why. When you're traveling and you see somebody with an orange shirt or a T on their shirt, what do you say? You say, go Vols, no matter where you are. Or, or if you're an Alabama fan,
don't you say that.
You know, they say what they say, when they see each other.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. And so, but it's a constant, because there's community there.
Right.
There's something they can rally around on good days and bad days, which I think is a positive thing. But I also think there is a sense of, almost an addiction to the negative side, and all of us, and social media has really given everybody a platform to really focus on some of the negative things more so than the positive.
I think the tradition piece is interesting too. You know, you talk about a community. It's just this thing that we have in common. Well, even you think about the church for so many years. One of the things that I'm afraid the church is doing is getting rid of some of the great traditions of our faith.
Right.
And we are a church that many people would deem as contemporary, and you know, but yet we still hold on to many of the great hymns of our faith. We participate in communion very regularly. Of course, we celebrate baptism, and these are great traditions that have drawn people to the church for many years. They want to feel like they're a part of something that's bigger than the moment. And unfortunately, what's happened for many is they've said, we are finding great tradition in things of the world like sports, which is fine.
Sure.
But unfortunately, it's also happened at the expense of the church at times. Not for everyone. We've got all kinds of wonderful folks that are part of our faith community that also love the traditions of the Vol Walk and everything else. We just have to make sure that we're keeping it right in order, and that we're not throwing one that doesn't need to be thrown out.
Yeah, and I think we can, I think some people probably would argue, you know, I agree with y'all, but it's a lot easier to do those things and keep it in proper context when we're winning than it is when we're struggling. But also we have a tendency to go, well, today's a bad day. My fandom is over. I'm looking for something else.
Right.
Which we do with the church as well. Well, today wasn't what I wanted it to be, so I'm going to start looking. But when we come back, let's kind of shift gears and look at from a parenting standpoint, from maybe an uncle or aunt standpoint, how do we navigate youth sports?
we're losing listeners right now.
Well, I don't want to know.
I don't want to. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, but that's where we're going to go when we come back. So today, what we're talking about is sports and the church and the Christian, and now. We're going to shift to WWE wrestling, right? Is that what we're going to do?
I did have a meeting this week with our mayor.
Come on.
I did.
Come on.
Absolutely.
And you didn't have me come. I appreciate that, Jason.
I did not. He's actually really an astute guy.
Yes,
and
is.
I know that
very
you
much so.
I know that you've built a relationship.
Yes.
With Glenn Jacobs, our newly elected mayor.
Amazing.
But man, it is crazy that you sit there and you're like, this guy is ginormous.
Yeah, and could kill me.
As a former entertainer, as he references to himself. And I'm not 100% certain that the term former is
it's
correct.
Former.
Yeah, I believe there actually is something on the schedule.
In Australia soon.
In Australia here soon. But just to hear him talk, we were actually talking about the drug addiction issue and opioid crisis and everything else that's happening in the state of Tennessee, but even more specifically in Knoxville.
Sure.
And so we had four or five pastors and four or five political leaders that we gathered together this week. And, man, the guy's astute. Yeah. And this is not my endorsement of anyone. This
sure.
is rather, me just saying, hey, I'm glad we got smart people in office.
Well, and it's important that we engage in that process
sure.
as ministry leaders, as pastors, that not necessarily pick one side or the other, but say, hey, here's an issue that the church needs to be leading on, and how can the church lead on if they're not having these conversations?
Right.
So,
and he and I have a natural connection because we have almost the same build.
Sure, y'all
size.
Probably work out the same places.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
same
I think
path.
He's almost
yeah.
7 feet, and I'm almost 5'10".
And one of the storylines, he was Undertaker's brother.
that is
just,
correct.
I mean, we could do.
Yeah, we're almost the same person.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. So, I don't know why I got into wrestling, but maybe that'll be another podcast we do where
yeah.
we just talk about wrestling. And I watched it growing up. I don't know if you did. I'm willing to admit.
I did.
That I
was a huge
it.
Kerry Von Erich fan back in the day. He wore no shoes and.
I was more Stone Cold Steve Austin. So,
oh, wow.
But we don't have to go.
See, I'm much older than you.
We don't have to go there.
Yeah.
We couldn't play any of his clips on
no,
here anyway.
No, let's get back.
But let's talk about, yeah, let's talk about youth sports. So as we think from a parent standpoint, even from a kid standpoint, if you remember the times being in Little League or minor league or whatever you called it, Babe Ruth or whatever you call it in your area, youth sports, and you see the, I guess the level of dedication, it would be a nice way to put it, of some parents that take their children to these youth sports. But at times, there, like we were talking about earlier, there is tons of positive that we take from sports.
Right.
I look back at my time playing baseball and basketball and the relationships that I built and how it taught me to be a man, how it taught me to deal with losing and struggling and
hard
how to
work,
how to win
yeah.
and how to win the right way and all of these things, amazing things, how to be a leader, all of these things. But also what we see in that is, and I know people that I could point to right now that, because of the reaction and of their parents to certain things, they were burnt out. They didn't play
yeah.
anymore. They didn't want to have anything to do with it because of, the yelling and the screaming of a mom or dad from the sideline or from the bleachers at the referees, at the coaches. And so for a Christian, Jason, as we look at this, and I know you, my kids aren't into that yet. They're not quite old enough, but with your kids, you go to the ball field quite a bit.
Yeah. We are those people.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we are not, some of the things that we're going to be kind of speaking against.
Sure.
But I will be quick to say, man, I am fallen just like every other guy out there. And there are moments that it bothers me. And there's moments that I'm probably too hard on my boys. And by God's grace, there haven't been a lot of moments where I've you know, had issues with umpires and other parents and some of the other stuff that you do see out there. But, man, it is amazing how easy it is for it just to escalate. And I don't even really mean in the actual moment of
right.
the sporting event. It really is the culture as a whole. I mean, there are, so a couple of my boys and probably my third boy will start playing baseball. We have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. My youngest plays soccer. My middle son plays basketball. All of them play basketball. I've got another son that plays soccer. I mean, I've got kids that are playing
sure.
sports everywhere, and a couple of which play on travel, competitive teams. And that is a unique dynamic. One, as a pastor who obviously has responsibilities, and not only has responsibilities as a pastor of a church on Sunday, but has responsibilities as the pastor of my home,
mm-hmm.
to think through that. But it really is, the larger context, as I was about to say. I mean, I look at Facebook pages that pop up for Knoxville Travel Baseball, and it is hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people that are commenting on everything from we need to find the best distributor for uniforms to I can't believe so-and-so made this call on Saturday. I mean, it has to be filtered and monitored
mm-hmm.
to a great degree because, again, it's an expression of so many of our hearts. And sometimes it's just, hey, we're interested in things. And sometimes we want to rant. And the reason that we rant, and I'm afraid, and some of the reasons we take this way too seriously, is because it has indeed become an idol to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's become something that maybe we've tried to find some identity in. Hey, my son's fantastic at this, or my son's better than your son, or my daughter's better than your daughter. at this, or hey, our family's connected to this team or this sports program or club. I mean, these are things that we've begin to find some of our identity in. And as ultimately we said, even in our last segment, a lot of times people want community.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, some of our more significant relationships in our life are indeed connected to our sports programs. Now, we are really, really fortunate that we have a whole lot of other people that are connected to our local church and connected to the things of Christ that are a part of our other community. And so it is, it's complex, man.
Yeah, and as we, as you know, I grew up in a very small rural town. And so sports was big, and you would have people get upset and yell and do those things. But there wasn't a sense of, I think growing up in a college town and playing sports brings a whole different element, because you look down the road and you see the land-grant institution, big SEC school here in Knoxville, and you have these thoughts, even as a dad, of, my kid could get a scholarship.
Listen, the program that my oldest son plays in, one of the baseball organizations in town, legitimately, you can go into the indoor complex and you can see pictures on the wall of the guys that have come out of that pocket of West Knoxville where we are that are legitimately playing in the pros right now. And you think, oh man, I'm not sure if that's good or not.
Right.
Because it creates a maybe an unhealthy perception of what reality really is.
Yeah. And I grew up, basketball was my, I'm not super tall, but basketball was always my love. And I just knew that I was going to continue to play after high school. And my mom and dad were not ones to fuss. My dad at the baseball games, he didn't know anything about sports, but he would go, "Come on, Blue." That was like as bad as he got to the ref. And then to the umpire in baseball and then in basketball, he would say, "Come on, ref."
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, I was like, "Daddy, you don't even know, like, it was a good call.
Where do you want him to be coming
And then my mom was the, like, overly supportive, "You're going to play in the NBA. I just know it." Like, just really affirming everything. But I had there was a coach in high school my senior year that looked at me and just said, maybe community college ball, maybe, you know, a small Christian school. But at some point, you're going to have to hang those shoes up. And I remember, that sounds harsh, especially in today's society and culture. That sounds harsh that a coach would look at a young person and say, "You're going to have to hang the shoes up." But for me, it was eye-opening. It was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not going to do – clearly, I'm not LeBron. Clearly, I'm not Steph Curry. I'm not – which Steph Curry was younger than me. But clearly, I'm not going to be that at some point. It's okay to say, this is just something that I love to do, and it's really taught me a lot. But I think it's easier to do that in a small town versus a college town where you have it all over everything. That's all we hear about is recruits on Twitter, recruits on radio. We're just constantly being fed that, which I think when we come back, let's talk about, that's a good thing if our kids are good and motivated to do that and we keep it in a healthy spot, but it also can become an idol that takes over our life.
Yeah, we'll be back.
So today's topic, sports and the Christian and how we are to navigate through all of that. And I think it's important that we understand and are willing to admit as Christians that we do have those things in our lives that start to creep up and become idols in our lives. And one of those things, it may be sexist to say this, but it kind of leans more toward men, the men that may be listening. We idolize sports to the point of, if we have a son that we think is good and we go about that in different ways. But what are some practical ways we can look at this, Jason, and say, look, this isn't a bad thing. Sports isn't bad. Go to the ball field. Be a part of a community. But that doesn't mean we set our Christianity and our Jesus, we don't leave that at home.
Right.
And then we become somebody else on the field or on social media.
Yeah. I think for starters, you just have to immediately just establish some boundaries. And this is true as a fan. It's true as a parent. You know, you have to begin to say, okay, this is what we value as most important. And we want to really consider, is that what our time, our energy, our passions, even our resources are speaking towards? And so if we're saying Jesus is more important than the football team, then we have to consider, what are we giving more time, energy, passion, resources towards? And it very well may be, well, you know, I don't give anything to church, but I'll pay X thousands of dollars for those season tickets. And you know, I really believe that Jesus is more important than football, but I'm going to give all of my emotional energy to football rather than and have nothing left for a worship experience on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And so I think you just have to begin to say, as we enter into seasons, as we enter into games, as we enter into moments, we have to just really think through what is this and what are we not going to allow it to become? And the same is true for us as parents. You know, baseball is complicated, man. It is complicated here in this community. And I'm sure many other sports are the same way, but it does indeed get into weekend tournaments, lots of weekend tournaments, and it gets into Sunday games. And I'm going to tell you in advance, I am not going to ascribe to one camp or the other to say you can or cannot play on Sunday. We have allowed our child to play on Sunday. But we have also fought for his participation in the local church. And so it is, you're not going to miss Sunday morning services for those things. But hey, we're fortunate to be able to have multiple services. Mm-hmm. And it might mean that he doesn't get to stay for all 3 hours, but he's going to go to 1 or 2 hours of our worship experiences. And he may, you know, need to pack his uniform and be ready. We do those things. And I'm not going to give you a prescriptive yes or no. But I do believe that it is something that we have to say in advance. We are establishing what our boundaries are. Because if it is, let's just feel it out on a weekend-to-weekend basis, every weekend feels bigger. Mm-hmm. Every weekend feels important. Every weekend you feel like your son's got to play or your daughter's got to play because so-and-so's sick or you know, this circumstance is coming in or is happening or this team we're playing against really – you know, we really want to beat them. I mean, these are things that you can't just decide in the moment. You have to say, all right, we as a family are going to decide these are our boundaries. And then we're also going to communicate that to coaches. We're going to communicate that to directors of programs and anybody else that's going to be involved. So, again, we're making decisions not just in the moment, but we're making them proactively. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say also that we're setting an example for our children. So I want my kids certainly to be a fan of the Vols. That is something that I want for them here, right. Here living here.
If they're going to live under my roof, they will.
Daggum right. but what I also want them to see is when they step into sports and start playing, and I can already look at my kids and know, I'm pretty confident one or two, they ain't going to play. It's just in a nice way, they're not going to play any sport. There is some potential there. And so what I think when you
say, to interrupt you real quick, we need at least one of your children to be good at sports because you already have a minivan that can haul the whole team.
It's not a minivan.
I'm sorry, not a minivan. You have a full 15 passenger.
That's
van.
Right. That's right. So right now coaches are like, look, I don't care if your kid can play. We need that van. We need that van, and can we put our team name on the side of that van?
All right, we digress.
But as we look at that, when we set these boundaries, our children are also seeing what mom and dad's priorities are.
Right.
And so what we want our kids to know is not only is their sports not our idol, but we also want our kids to know that they themselves are not our Jesus or our God. And so when we set these boundaries, they can look back and go, oh, okay, Sunday mornings were important.
Yeah.
Worship was important. That doesn't mean that you're in there every time the doors are open. You know, there may be a Sunday where you need to play.
Yeah.
But it's recognizing that so that our kids recognize, okay, this is the proper way to view sports.
Here's
this
our
is the
priorities.
Proper way to handle
That's
that.
Right. Here's our priorities. Here's how we're processing this. And one of the things that we do with our children is we actually just talk about it. You know, and we talk about our need to fight for the local church. Like, we are going to do whatever it takes to make this the priority of not just our Sunday Sabbath, but ultimately our week. And so we're not going to step into other things that are going to conflict with that or going to convolute that. But we very well may be able to figure out some ways, if we're willing to fight for it, to have some other good things that can be in our life if we keep it right in perspective.
And if we can get our children to see and coaches to see that, look, our Christianity and our Jesus doesn't isn't something that just sits at home. Like, it's with us, that goes with us everywhere.
Right.
So when I'm on the ball field, I'm not just representing my family, I'm representing my Jesus. When my kid is on the ball field, they're not just representing our last name, they're representing our Jesus. And there's going to be times where you mess up. I remember playing a game and I missed a shot and I said a word that shouldn't have been said, and I said it really, really loud. Mm. And I remember after the game, my mom coming up and going, "Is that who you want people to think you are?" And it hit me like, no, that's not. That's not, because if that's all they know me for, they're certainly not going to go, "Man, that kid loves Jesus." That's one thing we do know.
Yeah.
We're going to make those mistakes, but we need to understand that setting those boundaries, allowing for our children in those moments to really deal with struggle at times, to understand, look, we got to make a tough decision here and you can't go to that practice because of this, or we're not going to be able to participate in this one game because of this. But if the coaches and everyone knows that up front, then it's going to make it a lot easier to walk that. If you just all of a sudden say, "Oh yeah, not today," then no one understands, and you're not being consistent and helpful to anyone.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make any friends here. I'll just go ahead and establish that. I'm not uninformed on this. My email is Andrew. you know, but here's the thing: we also have to do. We're not just fighting for just some generic kind of connection to Jesus in this conversation about sports. We need to be fighting for the local church as well. And so one of the things that I always hear this, well, the boys couldn't get to church on Sunday, so we were sure to have a prayer before the game, you know, or we did a devotion in the hotel. And I'm glad that there are some efforts that are being made. But do we want to establish to the next generation that our faith is fine independent from the local church? And so, again, there's going to be some of those exceptions, and there is going to be the occasional out-of-town tournament and all that stuff. And I know it gets more complicated as kids get older, and you do have potential scholarships in play, and there's all this other stuff. But, again, let's not just say, hey, we can combine sports with the sprinkling of Jesus. We really need to think about, how do we combine Jesus with the local church and our pursuit of Jesus together? So that's, again, just a tangent there. Andrew at.
Yeah. That's, email me. That's fine. And I'll pass you on to my pastor. he'll help you.
Great. Thank you.
He'll help you in that. So as we look at that though, I do think that, I don't think it's fair, and when we have these conversations, it's easy to beat up on parents that, I'm idolizing this or doing this. But if you're having the conversation, and if you're going through the actual struggle with your spouse and with your kids of what to do on the weekend, I think that points to a positive thing.
Yeah.
The negative thing would be is if it's like a no-brainer, he's playing.
And we're not just numb to this.
Like, we're not. Everyone knows at church when season is in, we're not there. Well, if you're at that point, then we need to have deeper conversations. But if you're actually having the conversation with your family and setting boundaries, even if you struggle at times, that still points to you're making every effort to really walk through this. And what your kids are going to do is look at that and go, yeah, this is hard. This isn't easy. And we want to create that mentality of, look, Jesus and the local church is going to be part of our identity and who we are as a family, more so than the Vols, more so than this particular travel baseball team.
Right. What are your thoughts? So we've obviously begun to talk quite a bit here about, about parenting and things of that sort. And so after the break, I want us just to kind of recalibrate. Let's just talk about just our generic thoughts, joys, and some of our temptations with sports.
Sure.
We just talk about it in a generic, general context. What's one other kind of practical step that we take?
Yep. We'll be back. So as we finish up, last segment of the show, Between Sundays, again, you can learn more about what's going on at Shoreline at their website, Google Shoreline. I'm just kidding. If you Google Shoreline, who knows what may come up. But ShorelineKnox.com.
They're like, we never found the church, but we're enjoying our vacation.
Yeah, we are really enjoying
the West
Shoreline
Coast right now.
But also, you can listen to this show live at Joy 620 every Wednesday afternoon at 5. And then you can find it on iTunes, Google Play app, wherever podcasts are found, you can find the show as well. But so as we ended the last segment, you were talking about a practical way. So maybe someone out there listening and they don't have kids, or maybe someone out there listening and their kids are grown and out of the house, and they're like, look, I'm not going to travel ball anymore, but I'm at Neyland every football Saturday, and I travel to the away
or
games.
I'm screaming at the television every Sunday afternoon.
And so, you know, or pro, or we're watching golf, whatever it is that you're into, or cricket, you know, whatever you may be into.
Let's face it, there is literally not a single listener we have that is.
That's true. I wouldn't even know what to be mad at if I watched cricket. Except why does he throw the ball?
And
that
why
way?
Is it so long? Yeah. Why is this going so long?
And so as we look at that, I do think, you know, as I was saying off air, I don't want to over spiritualize sports, but I do think it's important that we recognize. Look, when we have six fumbles. Or, you know, turnovers in a game, and it brings out the anger inside of me.
The worst
that is unhealthy and not right. It's important to put into perspective. Look, that player, that student athlete that dropped that ball,
he's
or whatever,
18 years old,
is or younger, you know, or somewhere between 18 and 20, but very young, and made a mistake for whatever reason, and also to look back and go, could I have held onto that ball? Probably not.
Right.
And also understanding they bear the image of our Creator. And so hopefully that will control some of the anger, but also just being willing to go, look, I love UT sports, and I love, or fill in the blank, whatever that is. And I find myself getting too involved and too engaged, and I find myself going to a place that isn't healthy.
Right.
We have to first recognize that.
Right.
And what I often hear on sports radio and in other places is people recognize it, but it's almost like they enjoy it. They enjoy going to that unhealthy place of anger and doubt. If we recognize it and continue down that path, we're not doing anything. But right. There's going to be moments, maybe, where you walk away, maybe where you don't check Twitter that particular football game or after, or you don't listen to that fifth quarter show because you know it's going to take you to a place of unhealthy, just very unhealthy.
Now that we've spent nearly an hour together here, I'm going to let you know that my wife has a sinus infection and my oldest son has a virus.
Okay. Thanks, Jason.
And so one can only hope that we've passed it on to your family today.
And then maybe we'll be so sick Saturday we can't even watch the game.
Yeah, that was not the point of this. No, one of the things that it does, though, it would be like going to the doctor. We had to take our oldest son to Children's Hospital on Sunday afternoon. He had 103.5 degree temperature. And you need someone to identify, hey, there's a problem here. And then you have to begin to say, we're going to do what's required to resolve some of that. And I would say to us that I think sometimes sports are one of the things the Lord uses to remind us of, hey, your heart at times needs refining. Mm-hmm. And so don't just say, you know, this is, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been at ball games. And it's almost a badge of honors. Like, this is what dads do. We just get angry. No. Yeah. Don't make it a badge of honor. Make it a call towards redemption and a call towards renewal and accept it as an invitation for Jesus to refine your heart and use that as a reminder to say, yeah, I got to get in the Word, man. We could not give these listeners enough lists of good ways to handle themselves at ball games or in any other sports context. What they need isn't the things that I try to do at times, which is, hey, stay away from the field. Hey, do this. Those things will only go so far. What we need is day in and day out, be people of the Word, be people of prayer, be people of the body of Christ, and allow our hearts to be mended.
And as we go through those things, if someone in our life says, why do you care about this so much? Or maybe we look at ourselves at the end of one of those games and go, why do I care about this so much? Answer that question, not with just aggression, but with maybe I need to reflect on that. And if our identity is wrapped up in Christ, then hopefully that is what comes out of us in these moments and not the anger and bitterness at times that tends to come out. But what I would say is if you're a dad out there, pick up a glove and a ball and go throw with your son and just enjoy that moment.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Enjoy sports for what they are. It's supposed to be fun. And let's keep it there and try to run, you know, get away from the unhealthiness. And Jason, let's do this again next week.
I think we'll do it. We're a team. All our sin is washed away.